This is Pumpkin Spice, written by Bittercape and read by Flower Parish. This is a Marvel and DC crossover fic, rated for teen and up audiences, featuring the relationship Clint Barton slash Roy Harper, tagged Meet Ugly, Coffee, and First Kiss. "This is unbelievable," Clint says, and rattles the handcuffs against the radiator. "Your face is unbelievable," Roy mutters, like the mature adult he is. "Oh, wow," Clint says. "Playground insults. How about, your mama's so stupid?" "My mother is dead," Roy snaps back, purely on reflex, just like he used to do. "So's mine, dipshit," Clint says, and they fall into silence. Roy has never met a silence he didn't want to interrupt, apart from when he's focusing to take a shot, but it turns out Clint is just as bad. "Look," Clint says, at the same time as Roy opens his mouth to apologize. "Let's start over," Clint says. "Hi, I'm Clint. I normally don't get kidnapped like this." "Hi, I'm Roy," Roy says. "I normally escape far earlier in the process." Clint grins at him and clanks his handcuffs. "It's gonna take me a while to get out of these," he says, doing something as close to jazz hands as he can probably get with his wrists cuffed to either side of the radiator. Roy nods. The position is more than difficult. His own is slightly better. His wrists are cuffed together behind him, but the fingers he needs to get at his lockpicks are broken, and he's getting a bit worried about permanent damage. "The worst thing about this is that I dropped a whole cup of coffee when they grabbed me," Clint says sadly. And while Roy is fairly sure that is not the worst thing that has happened to Clint by a long shot, not even the worst thing that's happened during this kidnapping, judging by the bruise on his cheekbone, he can understand the feeling. "I didn't have any coffee when they caught me, but I was on my way to meet my friend," Roy says, wiggling his wrists. Clint mumbles curses under his breath as he's trying to twist his arms in improbable directions. "Your friend gonna miss you?" Clint asks, and Roy nods. "He'll find me, too, once he's sure I haven't flaked out on him." "Hmm," Clint says. "You do that a lot. How long will that be?" "Couple hours, I think," Roy shrugs. "I sometimes get caught up if I'm working on something, so he won't be worried immediately. How about you?" "My friend is at work," Clint says. "Overseas. But someone else will come look eventually." He shrugs. "Sounds like your buddy's our best bet." "We can probably get a bit done before he gets here," Roy says, wincing a little at the thought of Jason's comments if he just waits around to be rescued. Clint looks at him, and then shrugs back. "If you're sure," he says. He turns his wrist around several times, twisting the chain until it's all bunched up, and then slams his hand downwards. The chain snaps, raining little bits of metal down on the concrete floor. "Ow," Clint says, and then produces lockpicks from somewhere and picks the other cuff open in seconds. He then switches hands, and just as deftly picks the one on his right, where it's hanging like an avant-garde bracelet. "What the fuck?" Roy says. He feels like that sums up the situation pretty well. "Let's do yours," Clint says, and then inches behind Roy to reach his hands. "Oh wow, that looks kind of painful," he says, and very carefully avoids the broken fingers that Roy had, somehow, managed to forget about for a minute. "Are they blue yet?" Roy asks, with some trepidation. "No," Clint says, and the cuffs slide off. Roy doesn't want to look at his hand, doesn't want to know if it's career-ending or not. Not yet. "It's gonna be fine, Roy," Clint says, and pats his shoulder. "I'm guessing you need your fingers for whatever it is you do, but they're gonna be good as new. Let me just find something to splint them with." Clint turns away to rummage through the desk shoved into a corner of the room, and Roy takes a deep breath before looking down at his hand. It honestly looks better than he imagined. Two of the fingers on his left hand are broken, index and middle, but it looks like clean breaks on both phalanges, nothing else. He can feel his shoulders slip down a couple of inches. "See, not so bad," Clint says, returning with two metal pens. His right wrist is swelling a little, and Roy can tell he will get bad bruising from the impact of the cuff at the very least. I got breaks like that a couple of years ago, and I was healed up fine to shoot again in no time. He tilts his head. And so will you. You know who I am? Roy asks, baffled. I know you're an archer, Clint corrects, and Roy looks closer at him, beyond the haystack of blonde hair and sparkling blue eyes and friendly smile. Clint helpfully shrugs off his jacket, and if he's not an archer, he's an Olympic swimmer. Without further ado, Clint rips off his right sleeve, exposing deltoids thicker than Roy's own. Not that Roy blames him, he will take any excuse to go sleeveless too. Clint carefully lines up the pen with Roy's index finger and wraps it with strips of his sleeve, then does the same with his middle finger, aligning it with his ring finger. It's clumsy and strange, but not as painful as before, and Roy tucks his arm against his body. You're Hawkeye, he says, after looking at Clint's face for the past 15 minutes. He's certain. Yep, Clint says, and you're Arsenal. Always wanted to meet you, Roy grins. You're a beautiful shot, second best archer in the world. His grin grows broader as he watches Clint's face go from smug to mock outrage in the span of a second. Them's fighting words, Harper, Clint says. Let me see you put your arrows where that mouth is, once your fingers are healed. You're on, Roy smiles. Let's get out of here. The kidnappers are entirely unprofessional and entirely unprepared to face Hawkeye and Arsenal on the loose, and Roy is a little embarrassed for them in how easy they are to take down. So easy, in fact, that he's sitting outside by Clint's side, leaning back against the wall, when Jason's motorbike roars up, followed shortly by fucking Iron Man hovering in front of them. You're fine, Jason says, taking off his regular civilian, but also red, motorcycle helmet. I broke two fingers, Roy says, waving his hand around. Jason does not look impressed or particularly compassionate, which Roy feels is rude, and also very normal. Why do you always end up without sleeves? Iron Man asks, and Clint grins, a little more tiredly now that they're out of danger. Can't deprive the world of this gun show, Tony, he says. Wanna give me a ride? I didn't come out here to look at your face, Iron Man says, and gives Clint a hand up to step onto his boots, like a child dancing with a grown-up. Prospect Park, next Wednesday, 2 p.m., Clint says, pointing two fingers at Roy's eyes. Don't be late. Iron Man whooshes them away, leaving Roy and Jason by the bike. Only you would get a date during a kidnapping, Jason sighs. Like you didn't meet your man in the middle of a shootout, Roy answers. It's not like that anyway. Good things don't fall in his lap like that. Or maybe it is like that, Roy thinks, when he's shuffling through the leaves in Prospect Park, yellow, orange, red, brown rustling around his shoes, walking beside Clint on the way to the archery range Clint owns and sometimes teaches classes at when he's in town. Clint is wrapped up in a purple knit scarf and a dark blue jacket, but Roy can see the bruises around his wrist from breaking the handcuffs. They match his clothes, sorta, but Roy doesn't think it's intentional. Clint did not approve of his pumpkin spice latte, opting for black coffee as the only appropriate choice, but Roy loves the small things that celebrate the seasons, marking time passing in a tangible way. He'll drink pumpkin spice latte and peppermint mocha and even the Easter egg latte he sometimes finds, and he doesn't care that they're too sweet or, as Clint says, a crime against coffee. He's lucky to be alive, both with his job and his questionable life choices. Every season is a gift, one he doesn't always believe he deserves. He doesn't think he explained very well, but something in Clint's gaze softened when he tried, so maybe it was good enough. Here, taste this, Clint says, and holds out his takeaway cup. Roy takes it from his hands, and their fingers brush momentarily. The coffee is very good. Roy gets why Clint wants it black when it tastes like this. Clint takes his cup back and gently backs Roy up against a tree. He's tall, Roy thinks dazedly. He's not used to looking up at people at such close quarters. Can I kiss you? Clint asks. Roy shuts down the voice in his head asking why he would want to, and nods instead. Clint's mouth is soft on his, gentle and tentative before opening, just a little, to taste. It's pretty much perfect as first kisses go. Roy blinks his eyes open to look up at Clint smiling. Did you give me your coffee just so you wouldn't have to taste my pumpkin spice latte? He asks incredulously. Clint laughs. A little bit, he says, but I think I can learn to like the taste on you. The end. You know you don't gotta pretend, baby, now and then. Don't you just wanna wake up, dark as a lake, smelling like a bonfire, lost in a haze. If you're drunk on life, babe, I think it's great. But while in this world, I think I'll take my whiskey and leave my coffee back in my bed at three. You're too sweet for me. You're too sweet for me. I take my whiskey and leave my coffee back in my bed at three. You're too sweet for me. You're too sweet for me. This was potted as a treat for Bittercape for the extreme timed challenge extreme timed challenge, 48-hour exchange, plus treats. I hope you like this. Here's at least one blooper that was funny from me recording. But it looks like clean breaks on both... Oh, Bits, why would you do this to me? I'm so bad with anatomy words. Phalanges? We're going to go with phalanges. I hope that's right. You're getting bloopers in this one.